Second scripture reading, the text for tonight, is found in 1 John. 1 be reading chapter 4, beginning at verse 7 and reading to verse 19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful, wonderful, marvelous section of Scripture, full of truth, full of your love. Father, we desire to see the things that the Holy Spirit would have us see tonight. Father, in your word, we thank you that you've done so much to demonstrate your love to us. Father, help us to see more of your love, more of you, and to desire more to see it. Father, we pray for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. New Year's resolutions are a common thing, and we all made them. And even as Christians, we make New Year's resolutions. We determine, we resolve, that's what they are, resolving to do better in the new year. And it's a good time to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Actually, we should be doing that all the time, but New Year's, beginning of a new year, or at a birthday, these are excellent opportunities for us to determine to grow, to do better, to follow the Lord more closely. But I have a resolution for us all that'll help us all and help us keep the resolutions that we make this year, and that is resolving to remember God's love this year, resolving to remember God's love this year. It's the gist there of, has the sense in what we read in Psalm 103, where the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." That's his love. His love is all that he is and all that he all the ways that he shows that love, all his benefits, anything good, anything beneficial, anything merciful, anything of his grace, anything of his goodness comes from his love, because God is love, as we heard repeated there in that section, telling us that God is love, not just that God loves, but God is love. It's a theme throughout the Bible. And this year, in New Year's, whether our resolutions are kept or not, the best resolution we can make is to know the love of God more this year. And that, if we do that, if we know God's love more this year, we will be able to do better. We'll be able to keep those resolutions and to actually change for the better. So that's what we need to do. We're not perfect yet, right? Nobody here is perfect yet? I don't think so. So we need to improve. We need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, one of the keys to doing that is to know God and his love. That will enable us to do the things we determine or resolve to do in the new year. Love, of course, is a theme throughout the world. In music and poetry and in writings and literature, innumerable. There are probably millions and millions of words written, songs written about love, poetry written. Why? Why is that? It's because it's our greatest need is to be loved. Human beings were made to love and receive love and understand love because we are created in the image of God. And as we just read, God is love. This amazing section in the first epistle of John, John 1, chapter 4, throughout this epistle, we see the love of God. John, it's no accident that John writes so well about love and so much about the love of God. He was the one who penned, of course, in his gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." John was the one who leaned his head on Jesus' breast. He was the closest. He was a disciple whom Jesus loved, apparently more than the others among his inner circle. He was the closest, nearest, and he demonstrated that in his writings. We see that in the Gospel of John. We see it in the epistles of John 1, 2, and 3. And we see it in the book of Revelation, how much of the love of God is there in the book of Revelation, penned by the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love. But here in this chapter 4, this amazing section, speaking on the love of God and the outworking of that love, God works out his love. He channels his love to us. And God, of course, is love. It's a hard concept for us to grasp. We can't, apart from revelation, we can't understand God at all, no less know his attributes. We don't know him, and we don't know anything about him unless he reveals himself to us. We, as the scripture says, this is love, not that we loved God. We do not love God by nature. And even after we're saved, we don't love him as we should. And so God's love has to be poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit in order for there to be any love for God from us, coming from us. It has to be God's initiation. He has to work in us, as it says in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. No love can come, true love. Now, in song, there's a lot of talk about love. You know, all the famous songs, the Beatles songs, All You Need Is Love. The other song, What the World Needs Now Is Love, Love, Love. And there, I mean, since man has been writing music and poetry and literature, innumerable words have been written about love. But for, again, love, God is love. And for us to understand God and his love, we need revelation. We need it to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Spurgeon writes about, Payson writes about God is love. He says, in the words, God is love, we have a perfect portrait of the eternal and incomprehensible Jehovah. drawn by his own unerring hand. See, he was the one who wrote, God is love. He communicated that to us through the pens of John here in this case, but by the Holy Spirit. It's communicating. He's expressing himself, letting us know himself. The mode of expression here adopted differs materially from that usually employed by inspired writers to speak of divine perfection. They say, God is merciful, God is just, God is holy, but never do they say God is mercy. Never do they say God is justice, God is holiness. In this instance, on the contrary, the apostle, instead of saying God is loving or good or kind, of course, which he, all those he is, he doesn't say that. He says, God is love, love itself. It's incomprehensible to our minds, but it's true. By this expression, we understand that God is all pure, unmixed love, and that the other moral perfections are so many modifications of this love, more manifestations of this love. All his attributes, all his goodness, all the ways he deals with sinners in his grace and mercy, all pour forth from his love. It's the source, and it is a holy love. It's not the love of the world. It's not the perverted love, the carnal love of the world that we hear about in songs. That's all selfish. It's a holy, just, perfect love that God has and God is. Again, we need to see it. We need not to forget it. So hopefully this will be used by God to remind us of his benefits for us. In John 4, verse 10, we read, the text says, in this is love, my translation, but better translated, this is love. Do we want to know what love is? We want to know and experience it. There's a song by, I'm sure you're familiar, the song by Foreigner. I want to know what love is, and I want you to show it. This I borrowed from another preacher, so don't think I came up with the song. But it was a popular song and a good song. I want to know what love is, and I want you to show it. And that's the cry, as this pastor said, Pastor Murray, that's the cry of the human heart. We want to know what love is. The only way to know what love is, we need to know the source of love. We need to know the one who is love, and that's God. And we want him to show it. How does God show his love to us? Tells us right here in this text. This is love, not that we love God. And that's a quick reminder. It's a quick reminder that we do not, by nature, love God. We don't understand his love. We don't want his love. We hate God. By nature, the carnal mind is enmity against God. If you don't believe me, read his word. We think we're better than we are, even as Christians. But we need the grace to love God. Romans 8, 6 and 7 says, for to be carnally minded, to be with the mind that we have when we're born, which is the natural mind, the carnal mind, he says, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the natural mind, the mind we're born with, the spirit we're born with, is enmity. Enmity is being against God. We are angry at God. We hate God. We're enemies of God. That's why Romans chapter 5 says, while we were enemies, God demonstrate, for if then, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. You see, it's not like God loves these friendly people, these lovable people. He loves enemies, those who hate him, those who are sinners, those who are rebels. He does a lot to show us his love and to overcome our hatred. And we really need to appreciate where we are and what we're like in order to appreciate God's love for us. I'm sure that you've met people, probably when you looked in the mirror, at least that's my case maybe, but people who, when you show love to them, it's almost like they say, yeah, well, I deserve that. They don't say that, but they don't show much appreciation. you can really pour out your heart, pour out love on them. And it's just like they take it for granted, as if, yeah, everybody should be good to me. Everybody should love me. And, you know, that's because I'm so good or whatever. So I'm lovable. We've met people like that. We've seen that. And it's really heartbreaking, you know, because they can't see the genuineness, even especially when it's Christian love. When Christians are trying to love people who are, they love them into the kingdom, right? And it's just like, you know, well, that's, you should be doing that. You're a Christian, you know? So, but that's the way we are. It's only when we see how unlovely we are, how really we can't love God. We don't love God. We can't love God. And if God loves us, if he does anything good for us, if he shows us any benefit, any kindness, any mercy, then we appreciate it. And then it stirs up our love for him. So he says, he reminds us here, this is love. Not that we loved God. Could never be. Never going to happen apart from his grace. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. It's the starting point. God has to initiate. And God's love is a powerful love. It's an eternal love, an everlasting love. It had its beginnings back in eternity past, when there was nothing but God. And God is love. So all there was love, God. And the Father, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit. And so that love initiated an outlet for that love. Because God being God, his love has to be expressed. His love comes forth, and it does so through Christ most clearly. He says, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And so he demonstrated, as it said in verse 9, God, the love of God was manifested towards us. Who is us? The us. Who's the us? For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. It's a particular people, a special people, a people of God's own choice, a people who are undeserving people, but yet objects of God's grace. But that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation, big word, right? Propitiation, what does that mean? It's a theological term, it's a biblical term. And to do something. So his love had to express itself, and it accomplished what it purposed to do. God purposed to show his love, to demonstrate his love from before the foundation of the world. He set his love on a particular people, particular in those who none of them deserved it, but he gave them. He set his love upon them. He purposed to save them, to give them his love, to put it in our hearts, to shed it abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and to demonstrate that love by sending his son, his only son, the one and only Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to save sinners, sinners who are rebels against him. It says it so clearly in Romans 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out. Think of a bucket or a big cauldron being poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love. You see, the love is demonstrated. It doesn't stay within God. It comes to this earth. It's impossible for it to be kept. It comes to this earth. It's demonstrated towards us. There's the us again. The objects of the love. In that while we were still sinners, children of wrath, just like the rest. Still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the demonstration, the death, this life and death of Christ, the person and work of Christ. Christ died for the us sinners, that he loved us and gave himself for us. That's what it says in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see the particularness of that love for his people, for those he saves. It says in Ephesians 1:5-2, therefore be imitators of God. Who could do that? As dear children. That's the only way, because we are adopted into his family and we can reflect our God in our lives. As dear children, and walk in love. See how the child reflects the parent. God is love, and we are to walk in love. How do we do that? Well, it's because God lives in us. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and we walk in love. We are able to walk in love as Christ has loved us. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's how we're to love and show love, not only to the brethren, but most particularly to the brethren, but to every human being. We're to demonstrate love. Love our neighbor and love the brethren as ourselves, particularly the brethren. He also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So Christ loved us. The love of God is demonstrated, manifest, in the sending of his Son to be a propitiation. It means he absorbs the wrath of God. He swallows it up. It's all consumed by Christ for his people. There's not a speck, tiniest speck left for one of his people. He absorbs that full wrath. It's like this tremendous laser beam of God's wrath. And it's coming down upon individuals and Christ, his church, and Christ bears that all. He doesn't just, somebody said, he doesn't just deflect it like the deflector shields, you know, on those spacecrafts and everything that push the laser away. He actually absorbs that wrath, all, swallows it up and takes it away for his people so that there's none left. He drinks the cup to the last. That's how he propitiates. He turns away God's wrath by absorbing it for us, because God's wrath is upon us for our sin, which we really, truly commit, every one of us. And that sin must be judged and must be punished. And it is judged and is punished in Christ for his people. He loved me and gave himself for me. It's all in his Son, in the gospel of God's grace is called the gospel of grace, and it comes from his love. For God so loved the world. God so loved. That's the reason. That's the source. That's the God who sent, who gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, because of the propitiation that Christ gave. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Impossibility of loving God and loving others apart from grace, apart from God's love for us. Again, getting back to the original theme, the resolutions we need to make are important, but they can only be accomplished, we can only change by knowing the love of God more this year than we did last. And we know it clearly in the gospel of God's grace, the gospel of substitution. But Christ substituting himself in our place, condemned he stood, sealed our pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Christ did it, the gospel, it's through that gospel. By nature, we are God haters. The gospel comes, we believe it by God's grace and through the work of the Spirit, and we repent and believe on Christ and are saved. To know the love of God, to know the love of Christ, It's the love of Christ. We love him because he first loved us. Paul expresses it in Ephesians 3. He says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love," that this is Paul praying for us. This is the prayer for us, for all believers, that we need to enter into, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, all believers, what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ. It's the love of God, the love of the Father, the love of Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit, that love that began in all, had its source in a God who is eternal, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, our God is, in his being, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And in his goodness is his love. His love is displayed for sinners through the gospel. And the center of the gospel, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we will know the love of God most clearly in the person and work of Christ. That's why Christ, our Christianity, as Brother Bob was speaking about this morning, has to be centered in Christ. Christ as our all in all. We see the glory of God in the face of Christ, because he is God and he is glorious. And that's where we need to focus. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the person and work of Christ. Octavius Winslow writes, "The ocean of divine love. The love of God to his people was an eternal as his people was as eternal as the eternity of his being, as everlasting as of his uncreated nature." He says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." His love is himself. He is everlasting, he is eternal, and so is his love. It began in it had no beginning and has no end. If panted, if yearned for an outlet, it did, rather, his love. It sought and found it in Christ. Nowhere in the heavens above or on the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth, no star, no flower, no creature, no so reveals and expresses and embodies the love of God as the gift of his dear Son to die for our sins. Oh, what love is this? For God so loved the world, so loved he gave Jesus. Jesus is the most precious exponent of God's love. Jesus descends from the bosom of love. Jesus draws aside the veil of his love. Jesus is God's love expressed, God's love incarnate, God's love speaking and laboring, dying, redeeming. Beyond this, it would seem impossible that love could go. Jesus is the channel through which the ocean of divine love washes the shores of this earth. The soul healing waves spreading like the sea of life over our sin-tainted, cursed, blighted, sorrow-stricken humanity. It all focuses on Christ. And that love is the love that changes us and enables us to change. It's the great motivator. We have all heard of motivational speakers, right? The popular ones, there's always new ones around. There's Dr. This and this guy and Tony This and all these motivational speakers. They're usually on PBS a lot. They have one every year, a new one every year, it seems like. But then sometimes they recycle them. But they're motivational speakers. And they have the way that we can change, the way that people are going to be able to change. If you do this and that, if you go on this diet or that diet, or read, you have to read the book always, of course, because that's how they make the money, and buy the CDs and the lessons, and there's always a program to follow, and they all have that, and that's how we change. It's not. And even within Christianity, there'll be thousands and thousands of books written about 10 steps and 5 steps and 12 steps to changing, to getting to the higher level, the divine life, and then they're being fully filled with the Spirit. But none of that is going to do it. It's knowing God's love, remembering and coming to know the love of God in all its manifestations this year. That's what's going to motivate us to change, to even survive this year. How are we going to survive this year? Do you know we couldn't make it? We would never make it to 2021 apart from the love of God. Never. We're not going to make it. We're not going to survive. We're not going to survive, more importantly, not physically, but spiritually. We would leave the Lord for sure, but his love is what keeps us. It's a keeping love, an everlasting love that keeps us to the end. He who has begun a good work in us will perform it. We'll do it until the end. He'll keep us. We're kept by the power of God. And that power of God is motivated by love. Our motivation needs to be the love of God. If we're going to persevere this year to the end of this year, or to the end of our lives, it's going to be through the love of God. God's love changes us. We see that in our text in these further verses here, how it's God working in us. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. See, it's God indwelling, abiding in us and with us, and we in him. And his love has been perfected in us. We're not perfect, and that love, especially our love to him, has not been perfected. It's not fully complete because we're not in heaven. Heaven is the future. That's where the hope is. The hope is for perfection in heaven. And heaven, as Jonathan Edwards wrote, a wonderful sermon, a treatise or a sermon, heaven is a world of love. That's our future. How can it be otherwise? It's full of God. God is its light. God is its glory. God is its fullness. There's no need of the moon or the sun or of anything else. It's just God and us, if we're there by God's grace. Heaven is a world of love. It's a specific place where God dwells in a special way, and it is a world of love because God is love. And that's our future. But we need the motivation. We need the enablement. We need the determination, and it comes through knowing that love, the love of God for us more this year. That's going to be what does it. He goes on to write, John says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, pours out the love of God. He assures us of God's love. That's where we have assurance. It's through the Holy Spirit. We're assured of God's love. How can you be secure? How can a wife feel secure with her husband? How can a child feel secure with their parent? It's when they're assured of their love. That's what brings comfort. It's what brings peace. When you know that you're loved, when you know that parent loves you, when you know that the spouse, your spouse loves you, that's when the assurance comes, when you can face anything because you know that there is love there. And that's true with God. God loves us in particular, and he wants us to know that love, be assured. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. No one can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. You can say the words. You can say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But they're just words. Apart from the grace of God, apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from God abiding in us by his Spirit, we can only say the words. We can't make a true confession. God abides in him, and he and God we have known and believed that the love that God has for us. Isn't that amazing? We can know and believe. We believe it based on the word of God. And we can know and believe it that God has love for us. As that the love that God has for us. We can know, we want to know what love is, and we want to know what it feels like to be loved. We want to know what it is to know the love of God in truth. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in love, God in him, in us. Love has been perfected among us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, in genuine love. That's why we don't have to be afraid to die. We don't have, we can fear the mechanism of death. We can fear the pain of death or the whatever of death, but we don't have to fear death itself, because death has been swallowed up in victory. Christ has defeated death. We've died in Christ, and Christ has taken away the sting of death. So there is no fear. Love, perfect love, casts out fear, because fear involves torment. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No torment, no suffering, no pain, no condemnation, because Christ has borne it all. He became a curse for us. And so it doesn't involve torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Amazing words and motivation, and it needs to be our motivation, and we need to believe these things this year. Some applications. Pray for the work of change in us. We need to pray that God would change us this year. We don't want to be the same. We don't want to be facing in, let's say, January is the first. We make the resolutions on January 1st, right? And how long do we get before we start falling back, right? Start Genesis 1:1, and we start reading, and we do it, and then we pray, and we pray more, and then before you know it, a little bit slips, and before, let's say, maybe the end of February, maybe March, we make it to, but it doesn't have to be that way. God has an ocean of grace and blessings comparable to his love. Just think how great God is in his love, and that's what we have available. So we can pray that this year would be the different year, that we would grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off those things we need to put off, put on the things we need to put on, and change this year. Pray, we need to pray more. We need to be in God's word more. We need to meditate on God's word more. We need to seek to practice God's word more. We need to praise God more, to give him thanks more this year, to determine and actually serve others more. You see, the outworking of God's love in us is that we love others. That's what John says. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That needs to be there. Real demonstrations. We need to pray that God would help us to love others more this year and to actually do it and demonstrate those even when we don't get it back. Trust God more. Determined to know God's more of God's love. If you're here tonight and are strangers to that love, don't know if you're part of the ones whom God sent Christ to die for, then come to him. Because you'll never be fit, you'll never love God, you'll never be an object that's worthy of his salvation. So you just come as you are. You come tonight. You come with all your filth and being an enemy and hating God and having no love for God whatsoever and no hope of ever loving him. You come as you are, and he's promised to save you, to love you, to wrap his loving arms around you and to take you to heaven. Guaranteed. So come to him. Why would you not come to a God who has promised to love you for all eternity if you come to him through Christ and through Christ alone? Merely means to trust him. We heard it in those wonderful testimonies this morning of Kaylee and Braylon. Simple trusting in the Lord, trusting and stepping out in faith and believing that he says, means what he says when he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he who comes to me, oh, no wise, no, never cast away, send away. We need to love him, trust him more, trust less in ourselves, and trust more in our wonderful, wonderful Savior. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts is a wonderful thing. I love you, Lord, but with no love of mine, for I have none to give. I love you, Lord, but all the love is yours, for by your love I live. I am nothing and rejoice to be emptied and lost and swallowed up in you. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We need to know it this year. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful disciple of Jesus, the Apostle John, and for the words that the Holy Spirit moved him to pen, these wonderful words of love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for a wonderful day of your love and mercy and goodness. Father, we thank you and praise you and pray for your glory in all this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.